Everybody, welcome to a third of the Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horley alongside, as always, take you to three. Hand it off to our good friend, Phil Bonatti. His fine show behind the bench. Normally 3 hours, 1 hour today, because we're getting ready, of course, to join ESPN Radio at 4 o'clock for the first of the two national championship semifinals. But also, as always, on a Thursday, our great friend, Radha Vedekian, playing host to Bill and anybody else who comes down to Fashion Furniture on El Paso across from River Park, where you can check out the best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. And you can also hang well beyond the end of the show today and check out everything that Rod has to offer. And that same applies, of course, during the week as well. But for us today, it is national championship time. And also for us, the start, as I mentioned yesterday, of 8 very meaningful games between now and Monday, between the college football playoffs today and tomorrow, and then the 6 NFL games, the wild card weekend, 3 on Sunday with 2 on Saturday before that, including the Rams game, and then the Monday night game finishes it off. So 8 games, all of them on our air, and certainly loser leaves the playground is the mode when you're playing one and done, or if you want to be more optimistic, again, you know, win, move forward, survive, however you want to look at it. But we'll start tonight, and I'll tell you all about the specificity of the schedule for the matchups and what television network they're going to be on, as well as, of course, our radio feeds between ESPN Radio and Westwood One a little bit later. When we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, it's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. I'll tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, a little bit later when we go over the schedule. By the way, I also want to mention, even though Phil is in person today at Fashion Furniture, you can still reach him on the Lee's Air hotline during the 1 hour he'll have between 3 and 4. Mark that down, 559-320-1430. Before I bring Matt Norville up, as Matt is now back with us for the rest of the academic year to talk basketball and softball and everything else going on at Fresno State, I want to remind you about our buddies at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and they are featuring right now the new Zinger Chicken Sandwich. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served on a toasted bun, served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and as always, it's finger-licking good. And as I mention every day, I'd really like to have 1, 2, or maybe 12 of them at the moment. Jorge, if you can arrange that, I'm not that far away. Just zip on down, go down Bullard, make a couple of turns, head north a little bit, and you'll find me, Jorge. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. And for everybody who has the opportunity that they're up and around, stop by those local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, and Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the great Zinger sandwich with the KFC crunch you'll love. And also keep in mind that you still have deals going on Tuesday with the $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer. You've also got the Country Fried Steak offers on Wednesdays and the KFC pot pies throughout the week. So a lot of great meals at KFC right now, and we thank the local operators for their sponsorship. Now, the last reminder, I mentioned the Lee's Air Hotline. Longtime sponsors, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Lee's been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. Great local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Very professional people, very competitive pricing, and very timely. Just give them a call, 825-5337-825-LEES, or go to the website at leesair.com and check out anything you might need that they can offer you in regard to your central air plumbing, heating, roofing needs. And as I mentioned, you also have that Lee's Air hotline. Mark that down. That's how you reach Phil, 559 1430. It's also how we bring up our pals like Matt Norville, who'll be with me in just a couple of minutes. As far as the weather goes, it is breezy today, which is a nice way of saying it's windy. The winds are supposed to be up around 20 miles an hour. We're only going to get to 54 today. I know there were chances of rain in certain parts of the valley north of us, and maybe a very passing opportunity for some of you on the valley floor here in the central part of San Joaquin Valley. I don't know if you got any rain at all, and maybe the South Valley is getting a little bit, but it is nothing of substance. So basically, just a passing drop or two, and then we are back to what looks like a very dry forecast for the next 7 to 10 days. Mentioned 54 today, 54 projected for tomorrow, 57 Saturday, 55 Sunday, and we continue on in the 50s next week. The most relevant occurrence right now is that the lows now for the first time have locked into the 30s, as low as 35 tonight, 34 tomorrow, so getting very close to freezing time in the outlying areas, and then 37, 36, 38, 39 as we stay in the 30s, and watch out for the fog, particularly when the wind dies down. So it is just about seasonal right now. We've been a little bit warmer in the last week or two, and particularly the other day, but I think now we're locking back into where we belong in January. And as I've mentioned many times, when we get to February, it seems like winter is already gone. And so if you can get through the next few weeks, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337. Lee's, thanks again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. You'll allow me the time a little bit later to tell you about the schedules for both 1430 and 790. And thanks, of course, to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, it's great to have Matt Norville back with us. Matt, during the summer, jumps in whenever he has an opportunity. But when we get to this point, as football wraps up for Fresno State, Matt, of course, not only the voice of the women's programs for Fresno State, but also many times he is calling men's games, so he can give you the overview on both sides of Cedar when it comes to softball and baseball, and also everything going on with the basketball programs for both the men's and women's teams. So let's bring Matt up right now. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. It's great to have you back on, and I look forward to every Thursday that you're possibly free that we can go ahead and talk about things. Going to address the basketball program, the women beating San Jose State last night at SMC. They await Grand Canyon on Saturday. And then the men, of course, are coming off of the win. The men will be back home against Colorado State next Tuesday, and they will also, between now and then, see a trip to Viejas for the Saturday game. That Saturday game at 8 o'clock is a national TV game, one of the few Fresno State has this year basketball-wise on CBS Sports Network. All right, that having been said, Matt, I want to start with something else because you and I talk NIL a lot. And I brought it up with Ferdy yesterday, and I want to get your take on this. Damon Williams, who actually had a very good L.A. Bowl game against Boise State, had, as we talked yesterday, had agreed to, contractually, a $4-plus million deal to stay at the University of Washington. All of a sudden, LSU comes calling. That means Lane Kiffin. And Williams decides that he wants out. And what has happened now is that the University of Washington has said, no, you don't. We are not obligated to let you out. We're not going to let you out. We're going to fight it legally. And further complicating it, the agent who made the deal for Williams is also the agent for the head coach at the University of Washington, and he has now backed away from representing Williams, and you have now legal issues and Williams getting a lawyer to try to fight for, I guess, his right to leave an already agreed to situation. Matt, we've talked in the past about things like Rashada in Florida and not getting his money, or what happened with Lucas between Wisconsin and Miami. That's more of a parallel, but this one specifically, could you foresee this happening, or do you foresee this happening on a regular basis where you make a commitment and then somebody else decides to be a better prom date for you? How do you feel about this?
Well, personally, I don't like it, but the way we are right now, Tony, there's nothing really you can do because everyone is suing the NCAA. So what you've got right now is you've got the coaches complaining about the NCAA is not doing da 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 da. Well, guess what? The players are complaining about the NCAA not doing blah, 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 blah. And they're all just complaining, but no one's taking any action. And so you just have all these lawsuits happening, and the NCAA can't do anything. They can't make any rules. They can't do anything. So what you've got with this situation, you've got the school now coming out saying, hey, we agreed to a deal. Yeah, you signed a deal. I don't know if that's going to hold up in court. I mean, what do the deals even mean right now? There's no structure. So is it more just, hey, I sign on the paper. If I'm going to get $4.5 million or whatever it is I'm going to get, and then, hey, a better deal comes out. It doesn't go into effect until the next football season. Doesn't go into effect till the semester. Like, there's no rules. So I'm just going to be curious to see what it is. It depends on how well that contract was written. If it goes, obviously, it's going to go in front of a judge, you would assume, and then they're going to make a decision based on that. But I personally don't like it. I'm a man of, hey, if I gave you my word, I signed on the dotted line, then I've got to honor that. If I didn't sign and we just talked, I don't have a problem just because you said it's verbal. I mean, it happens all the time in business. People will do verbal stuff, and then they'll come back and say, yeah, I'm not paying you that. And you're like, yeah, but you already told me that. Yeah, but we didn't sign about it. So if he signed on it, I would say he needs to honor it. But the way college sports is, unfortunately, Tony, there's no guidelines, man. There's nothing that you can do, and this is what we go back to all the time. You're going to have to get a players' union. You're just going to have unions, where then now you can have an infrastructure. Now you can have set rules. Now you can have contracts with buyouts. You can have deals, and where you can't, it can't be broken. Right now, there's not, like, you, it's a free-for-all. You can do whatever you want. So I'll be curious to see how it turns out. I personally don't like it. I think that, hey, if you sign, you've got to honor that. That's part of it. If you thought there was going to be a better deal out there, then you should have held off. You see it happen all the time in free agency and professional sports. You'll hear that, hey, this team offered them this amount of money, and they'll be like, I'm going to wait because I think there could be a better one out there, and then another team might pull the offer. That's just part of it. But if once you sign, I think you should be stuck in it.
Well, and again, you know, he's by all reports, he signed the contract a few days ago. But you and I both know, per your point, that in seeking counsel, you can bet that he was told before he made this decision. At least I would think that would be the case. I don't think you would sign a contract, then make a public pronouncement that you're in the transfer portal, knowing fully well that he's headed to LSU. I don't think you would make that public pronouncement if you weren't told by a fairly reliable source that you can get out of that contract. Otherwise, I don't know what in the world you're doing, because if you signed it and all advice was, well, you know what, you're going to have to honor it, then you shut your mouth and you might be very upset. You might go to the school privately and try to cut a deal, but you're sure as hell not going to go public knowing that you're going to be pulled back in, because right now that's the stance, as you know, from the University of Washington, which is we are not obligated to let you out, and we're not going to. So basically, as Pete Thamel was talking earlier today on ESPN about it, they're saying you can either come back to Washington or you can't play. That's all there is to it, because we're not going to let you out. So, you know, in there has to be some loophole, like you said, because of the Wild West. It's here. We'll see. The thing I brought up yesterday, I did want to ask you about, though. I brought it up to Ferdig. You're a former collegiate athlete. You understand this stuff. Do you want, never mind the coach, and never mind the conflict where you have Hendrickson, who's the executive VP at Wasserman Sports, representing both until he stepped away, both Williams and Jed Fish. Leave that one alone, which is a little bit like, other than that, how'd you like to play Mrs. Lincoln? Because that is a very big issue. Leave that aside and just ask yourself this. Would you want to have a guy on the team who doesn't want to be there, who is upset the entire time because his opportunity at LSU, which was certainly greater financially, and I'm going to guess that he thinks it's a better deal professionally speaking, would you want him on your team, or would you be worried about how disruptive he is? I mean, he's a good player, but he's not Caleb Williams, for goodness sake. So I'm just wondering.
And that's a good question, Tony, and that's why fans get upset in pro sports when guys demand trades. And that's the thing. You're under contract. I don't have to trade you. But the real reason they end up getting traded is because That's the question right there. They say, I'd rather not have an unhappy player on my team who's just going to pout and he's just going to complain all the time. He's going to try to turn the team against me. Fine, and we'll just get rid of him and have a player who's under contract who I want to still keep, but I know it's going to be difficult. That's the age-old question, and that's why you can demand trades in pretty much every sport, and pretty much every sport you get your way if you're a good enough player when you demand for a trade, because the team doesn't want to have to deal with that. So you would have that same situation here. I think the only difference is I consider college sports pro sports now, but it's still the minor leagues compared to the professional. So a lot of kids in goals, not every kid, but a lot of kids in goals to get to that next level, get to the NFL, where you have the advantage at the college level is you can say, well, fine, and you're just not going to play. And now you're a year out of the public eye with the pro scouts looking at you, trying to get you. If you do come back and they force you and you have a bad attitude and all that, maybe an NFL, a GM, maybe a coach looks at it and goes, man, I don't know if I want this kid, because they're just thinking down the line. The only kids that can probably do that, you've got to have a ton of talent. Be a top, top pick where they just, the coach goes, I don't care what he does, he's good enough. But I think that's where you would have the advantage in college. But that's the age-old question. Personally, I'm one of those people that say, hey, if they don't want to be there, just let them out, because I don't want to deal with the problem. But, yes, if technically you're under contract. I mean, you can kind of be that tough person and say, hey, look, you're playing. But then you don't know if it's going to be a sabotage situation. You just don't know what's going to happen.
You're right. And, you know, to put the bow on it for the moment, and it's ever-changing. And, by the way, as we talked yesterday, because of the situation between Wisconsin and University of Miami with Lucas, the Big Ten looking at this very closely to see how this might play out, because they've already gone down that path before, and now they see it happening with Washington right now. But the one other point, Matt, is exactly who has what ears to the ground, because it was just days after he signed the contract. You would think he would have been aware interest by LSU or anybody else before he made that deal. It wasn't like he made it a month ago or something. So it's just interesting that it would be, okay, I made a commitment, and then within, you know, 48 or 72 hours, okay, well, but there's a better deal now. That is a very unfortunate piece of timing, and one that tells me that somebody in his inner circle wasn't terribly aware of an offer coming down the pike. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, you know, Tony, it also, you're forgetting that the simple factor here is the Ole Miss quarterback is a part of this too, because Kiffin was going to try to get the Ole Miss quarterback.
That's
and the
correct.
Ole Miss quarterback was talking about he's going to try to get a sixth year at Ole Miss. He's already got a deal in place, but he's got to get a sixth year. A lot of stuff had to fall for him to become available, where LSU's sitting here saying, hey, we're going to pay a lot of money to try to get this kid. So he probably thought, hey, there's no way it's going to happen. And then it happens, and now he's saying, hey, Washington or LSU, where would I rather be, Big Ten or SEC? And then you throw in money situation. And, yeah, like I said, it's the wild, wild west, Tony. Until you get a union, which for whatever reason they don't want to do, like I'm sitting here going, I have no sympathy, because you can't set any ground rules. You can't. Coaches can complain. You can get Calipari complaining, Izzo complaining, Saban complaining. Until you guys come out and say, hey, we're professional sports, which is what they are, let's get a union, then we can set rules up. We can have a collective bargaining agreement. Now a college kid comes in and you have to sign on the dotted line. You're signed, you have contracts. These schools already have GMs anyway. You're not going to be able to control anything, and everything is going to go to the courts. So, I mean, this is what it is right now, until it just, hopefully, you've got people ahead that just have to look at it and say, student athletics no longer exists, unfortunately. It's pro sports. It just is. I mean, you just have to accept it. There's nothing wrong with it. That's what it is. Fans still enjoy watching it. But you got to try to get this under control. If you try to basically, I mean, we've talked about this, Tony, if you're trying to please both sides of the equation, it's not going to work, and this is what you've got.
Well, and you're right. The Ole Miss situation, which, of course, is going to play out again tonight, is trying to appeal for another year. My point was, and your point is well taken, was if there were the possibilities – the legitimate possibilities of that domino effect of, you know, somebody trying to get an extra year. If he does, he is either going to stick around where he's at, or maybe you can entice him to, you know, come back under your aegis, meaning Lane Kiffin. If you're Williams sitting out in Washington, I would think you would at least stall for a little bit more time. And maybe you're right. Maybe he was convinced it wasn't going to happen. I'm just saying, timing-wise, you know, the portal stuff just opened up on the 2nd. It's going to be opened up until, what, the 16th? I don't see the rush if you thought there was even a small possibility. But then again, you know, I'm not the one who's advising him. So maybe somebody had a different point of view, or maybe he did. But it is unfortunate, and it's ugly, and it is everything that's driving me crazy about collegiate sports these days. And look, I wish him well. I hope he gets to stick around for another year because he wants to stay where he is. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Yeah, and you don't know, also, just to finish the point, you also don't know if Washington put a timeline on him. You don't know if they said, hey, look, you got to make a decision here, because otherwise we're not going to sit and wait, and then all of a sudden you leave on the 14th and now we don't have a quarterback. So they might, you don't know. Like, there's so much at play here that you don't know how it happened and why it happened. But the point is, if it is a contract that he signed, I think he should have to honor it.
Well, yeah, you're right. The other thing is, and you brought it up, and this would be my point of view about it, and we'll move past this for the moment, and that is, this comes down to what you talked about. If you're a good enough player, they're going to wait for you. If you really think that threat is one that's going to move you off your position, then it kind of says you realize you are more replaceable than maybe the money they're offering you would indicate, if you know what I mean. It's one of those, you know, you're worth $4-plus million, but you're not worth waiting another week for. So, you know, and maybe they've been suspicious of Lane Kiffin all along. Gee, how in the world could you be suspicious of Lane Kiffin? Now, in fairness, Lane has been great to us. You know, we've had Lane on the air a million times. Great guy for us. But we, of course, at his alma mater, and we are not threatening his perch here out in Central California. All right, enough of that until we get the next word about whatever is going on. And, of course, we have the game tonight, and we'll see if anything comes up in that regard tonight. All right, Matt, I want to ask you basketball-wise about the women first, winning last night. And I get the impression that you've got a head coach that has the good news, bad news going, which is the bad news is we've been our own worst enemy for a lot of this year. The good news is, as opposed to playing well and still not winning, when you are not playing to your standard, you're making certain mistakes, that is within your control to fix. And I got the impression that after last night, you had a coach that even after the win was saying, basically, we need to get out of our own way here. If we can do that, we're going to be fine. Am I right about that?
Yeah, everything's a development. Everything's a work in progress. On the women's side, you've got, with Coach McCarthy, they lost their best player. Ashton Reen got hurt, unfortunately, in the Santa Clara games out for the year with a knee injury. So that changed up everything. They've changed up their offense, and now their team is, he's trying to build them confidence. He's trying to give them confidence and belief that when you step on the floor, you're going to be the tougher team, you're going to work harder, and you can beat anybody in the league. That's what he's trying to instill. And they've won a couple of games, and they've won a couple of games in convincing fashion at home over Wyoming, and then last night over San Jose State. And so that's what he's talking about. He's a little, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but what's happened the last couple of games, they're up 4 at halftime against Colorado State in Fort Collins, and they get outscored, I want to say, 31-14 in the third quarter. Well, yesterday, they're blowing out San Jose State, and then they get outscored in the third quarter after halftime, 10-8. I know it's closer, but they didn't put up a lot of points. And that's where I think he's talking about, you know, we're trying to develop. Like, a good team, that's the quarter. You know this. You call games, been around basketball. After halftime is when the good teams either run the game away or they close the gap and come back. But the third quarter is always so key in basketball. It's the beginning a part of the second half in men's basketball, and they've struggled with that the last couple of games. And it's just something, that's what he's talking about, getting out of their own way. They're overthinking things. Like, he was yelling a lot yesterday, which made me laugh as a former shooter. He was yelling at them to shoot the ball because they had open looks and they weren't taking the shots. And I was laughing. He yelled at one point to Ava Marr, and I'm telling you right now, Marr's a shooter. You say that to her one time, she's going to be taking shots from here on out now. You tell a shooter one time to shoot, they're going to shoot forever. And so, but that's the little stuff that he's trying to work on and get better with. And I've been impressed with what they've done so far, especially after losing Ash for the season. And Danae Powell's been very good for them. Millie Long's been very good. Watkins has been playing really well. Watkins was in foul trouble last night, so it's kind of unfortunate. But I think they're starting to figure out their roles and what they can do. And like we saw last night, they're starting to take more three-point shots. They're a good three-point shooting team, so that's something that he said that they weren't doing that in the beginning, and it was not by design. But now they're starting to have confidence and do it more. And I think that they'll be a tough out for a team in March, no doubt about it. And they're still trying to build to obviously get better. And this weekend against GCU, that'll be a tough test.
Right. And have you seen a marked difference between home and road with this team? Because sometimes when you're trying to put things together, that's what happens. I mean, is this a team that you're confident that as the season moves forward, that the pieces are going to be put together enough that by the time you get toward the latter portion of conference, that this could be a legitimate run in Vegas when we get to March? Or is that asking too much right now in the first year?
That's asking a lot in the first year, but they're a team that when they step on the floor, they'll be capable of beating anybody in the Mountain West Conference. So it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility. I just think that's a lot to put on a first-year coach when you walk in and you basically have to replace everybody but three players. And two of the three that came back in, Danae and Avery, they played, and then AO didn't play last season. So I think that's a lot to put on a first-year coach. But, yeah, it's a team that definitely – they can beat. I mean, they handled Wyoming here at home, and they handled San Jose State. They had Colorado State up four at the half, and then late had a chance. So you're in some games. Really, UNLV was the only one, but people forget they led after the first quarter. They just did not have a good second quarter, and UNLV really blew them out, and that was where the game was lost, was in that second quarter. But I think they've got pieces. They're starting to understand their role, and they do a great job on the glass, Tony. I know last night they were out-rebounded, but they were third in rebounding margin coming into last night in the first four games. And that's talking about playing San Diego State, who's very good, UNLV, who's very good, Colorado State, who's very good. And their rebounding margin was plus +7in those four games coming in. So they're a good rebounding team. And as long as you can give yourself more and more shots, more and more opportunities, I think the big key for them, and Coach McCarthy talked about it in our interview last night, they've got to stop fouling. They are just sending teams to the line, getting free points way too much. It's back-to-back games that teams have had 30-plus free throws against them. They're just fouling too much. When you teach aggressive defense, I used to have a coach who used to say, hey, we're going to play aggressive defense, but you got to defend without fouling. They're defending and playing aggressive, but they're fouling a lot, and that's got to change, because if that doesn't change, it kills runs. Because now you're putting the team on the line, it kills momentum, and it gives teams just too many easy points. And I think that, if I had to put something, is their biggest bugaboo right now.
Well, again, the team is 8-8, 2-3 in conference play. They're in Phoenix on Saturday at noon our time to play Grand Canyon. That game is available on the Mountain West Network, so people check it out. So you've got a weekend where the women and men are both on the road. The women, of course, I mentioned at the Grand Canyon and the men, the 8 o'clock game on CBS Sports Network against San Diego State. And I'll ask Matt about that in just a second. One last question about the women's team, Matt. You have seen the team for a number of years now. And I know that when McCarthy came in, one of the things he said is we are going to play at greater pace. Are you seeing that? Because sometimes when you have depth issues, and we've seen Vance have to deal with this, you can't quite play at the pace you want. When you're looking at this team right now, compared to what you've seen the last few years, is it a very different look on the court itself?
It was at the beginning, and then he had a few injuries. So I'd say they're playing a touch faster than what Coach White's teams did the last couple of years, where everything was basically funneled through Mia. They're not playing as fast as Coach White's team when they had the Cavender twins, Maddie and Allie, where they were just flying up and down the floor. But that's because he's had to change it up. For a lot of reasons. One, you don't have the depth. So you're not, what are you going to do? Play five players 40 minutes a game at that pace? You just can't do it. The other thing he's done is he's not pressing as much because he just doesn't have that depth. So yeah, at times they pick and choose their spots. They can get out and go and they can beat you down the floor and they do want a fast break, but they're not playing at that blistering pace that you thought they'd be playing coming into the season just because of the injuries and the health. But they're still playing faster than they've played the last couple of seasons under Coach White, but they're just not at the speed he probably wants them to be. But he's smart enough as a coach. He's already shown what he can do as a coach with all the adjustments he's made already this season to revamp their entire offense. They were post-to-post passing, playing up tempo, and now they're basically four out, one in. They'll play two posts at times, but they're pretty much four out, one in, letting the guards go to work, and they'll get the ball inside, and then they're rebounding hard. So he's changed up a lot, and he's really made some good adjustments with the personnel he's had. And I always think that's a good sign of a good coach. Is, you know, you can have a style of play you want to play, but you have to be able to adjust if you don't have the personnel for that style. But I think, obviously, when next year comes and they get healthier and he gets more recruits in, he's going to get to that pace he wants to play. But right now, they're faster than the last couple of years, but they're not as fast as he wants them to be.
Well, I know, great point about the Cavender twins, because there were times that and admittedly both undersized out there in this day and age of women's basketball, but there were times when pushing the tempo and trying to get to the rim caused the Bulldogs to turn the ball over too much. So there is a fine line. You want to play quick, you know, the old John Wooden line, right? You know, be quick, but don't hurry, right? You don't want to get yourself in that situation. And I know that coming from different levels and great success, I would expect that McCarthy's going to have the success here. And I hope people who haven't gone out to see a women's game in a while will go out and give them a shot. The women, when they play during the weekdays, they play at 6:30. The men play at 6. I think the women got this one right. If you're not going to play at 7, I think 6:30 is a little bit better than 6 o'clock, but I'm not the one who made the decision, but I hear about it a lot in email land. But anyway, this weekend, neither team is home. The women, noon on Mountain West Network. The men at 8 o'clock on CBS Sportsnet. Speaking of the men, Matt, I don't want to make any more of it than what it was. You're playing a beat-up San Jose State team that wasn't that good to begin with. As I talked to Purdy yesterday, it was a neutral site at worst and maybe a de facto home game because there was hardly anybody at the event center there, but you had some Fresno State people that probably more represented than what San Jose State had. So it's not like you broke through on the road the way you'd like, but this team has had that building process from coming back from 16 against UNLV, having the lead but not able to finish the deal, to playing pretty well against Utah State but not shooting it well enough to win, to a game against Nevada they should have won it, they lost, then they win convincingly. In the time continuum, are they making the progress that you expected to see this year, or is it too early to know?
They're making progress, and to go back to your point, I know, it, like you were saying, San Jose State was missing some players, and it was San Jose State who was winless in the Mountain West Conference. But, and I always say this in sports, my job is to win. It doesn't matter if you beat a team that hasn't won a game or you beat a team that was unbeaten. Your job is to win. Just I use this line all the time when it was a famous soccer player talking about, my job is to score goals. I score goals against a country that has about 50 people, or I score goals against Spain. My job is to score goals. So, you can get confidence from scoring. You can get confidence from playing good basketball. I always felt it when I played. I didn't care if it was a team that I was supposed to win by 20 or if it's a team that was really good. You felt good if you played good. And I thought Fresno State got off to a good start against San Jose State, knocked down some shots. You had four players in double figures. Hybreeder wasn't one of them, which I thought was a positive sign for you. They were able to win that game going away. So I think sometimes you got to get over the hump. Like you mentioned, what had happened in those three games that they lost. Well, sometimes you just need a win, and they get one going into a tough place this Saturday against San Diego State, a very good team who's 4-0 in conference in Viejas Arena. Confidence is king, and you know this, Tony. When kids are confident, it doesn't matter. When kids have no confidence, it doesn't matter, man. Because if you have no confidence, it doesn't matter if you're shooting the lights out. You're thinking, we're going to lose this game. If you have confidence, it doesn't matter if you're 0 for 20, you're thinking you're going to make the next 20. I mean, you look at all the great players that have ever played the game of basketball, that's how it is. They'll miss the first 20 shots, and they think the next 20 are going in. And whereas you could get another kid that makes his first 10, and he just like, I know I'm going to be missing some coming up, and that's the difference. So I think them picking up a win, That'll help them make some progress. And then I just want to see them this Saturday. The real thing, Tony, is I just want to see them be competitive against San Diego State. Like, I don't want to blow out. Just be competitive. Step on the floor. Believe you can compete with them. Believe that you can win. And when it's the last 4 minutes of the game, have a legit shot to win. I just don't want to see this game 25 to 30 points, because I would think all the progress you've made going into that, you're missing that big moment where you believe you can actually beat a team like this or hang with them on the road. And that's the progress I'm waiting to see.
Well, Matt, you're not only right on the money about this, but per the conversations earlier in the week, we were talking about the belief you're going to win can sometimes carry the day the same way as you referenced. If you're convinced you're going to lose, you're waiting for something bad to happen. And it's almost like an out-of-body experience. Games that you think you're going to win, even though if you're behind, you say to yourself, you know what, we're going to win this game. I know. Now, it doesn't mean you can go ahead and mail it in. It means you just feel as though if you keep on doing what you're supposed to do, somehow, some way, this game is going to work out. The converse also applies. You'll play games where you're playing brilliantly as a team, and in the back of your mind, you're saying, you know what, this game is going to get away, and it's almost like I'm helpless to stop it. And it's a psychological game that turns in with a physical manifestation to either a W or an L. And the only way you solve it is by winning. That's the only way. That's the great dichotomy, right? You want to talk about, well, how do you overcome it? You win. Well, if you believe you're going to lose, how do you win? That's the tricky part, and that's what a coach has to get past. And for Vance, he's had such great success other places, Matt, and I'm not talking about the Pepperdine situation now as an example, because that was an exceptional circumstance that someday I'll have Vance on and he'll explain all of the machinations there, because it was very complex and a lot of people don't know the full truth of how that went down. But right now you come into a situation last year where Murphy's Law took over last year. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. This year, there have been a couple of pleasant surprises. Gorey, Stickman, certainly. And I look at this team, and I'm just wondering, Matt, from a coaching standpoint, how much do you try to infuse confidence in this team to help them win, as opposed to just saying, you know what, guys, you're going to have to go out and prove it to yourself, because there's nothing I can say to you except we're capable. Go out and get it done. I mean, those are two different approaches. Vance is not a rah-rah guy. Is a rah-rah guy someone who can really work well in college basketball these days? Seriously.
I infuse the confidence in him going into this game on Saturday, and here's how you do it. In my opinion, what I would do in this game early is if it's a quick 5-0 spurt early, where let's say you're down 5 quickly, I burn a timeout. I burn a timeout right then.
Right.
And I just get the guys in the huddle and I say, hey, look, are we here to win? Are we here to play? Because the game can get away. You wait for that 10-0 run, that 11-1 run. The game's basically over. Yeah, everyone makes a run in college basketball. I believe that. But there are certain games against certain teams in certain atmospheres you play where that run is just not going to happen. They might go on 11-1 run. You might go on a 6-0 run. Then they follow that up with another 10-0 run. Now the game's over. So I think if it's a quick 5-0 spurt at some point in that first half early, I'm talking in like the first 5 minutes, maybe the first 7 minutes, I'm burning a quick timeout. And I'm just sitting here saying, if we're down, of course, and I'm sitting here saying, hey, are we here to win? Are we here to compete? Guys, we are better than this. We have done all of this stuff. We can play the game, but settle down. We know it's going to be rowdy. We know they're going to be good. What do teams like to do? Feel like, and Fresno State is getting this right now in basketball. Teams step on the floor and they just think they're better than Fresno State. They just think like there's nothing they can do. They honestly, sometimes you'll get in sports, I'm not saying this is happening to Fresno State, but in sports you'll get teams to step on the floor and they just feel like they can punk you. And what I mean by that is you just step on the floor and you're like, dude, we just go on a 10-15 run, 15-0 run. We do something like that. We get up. They're not coming back. They don't believe they can even be on the floor with us. They can't beat us. They already think they lost in warm-ups. And so those teams will come out and they just try to punk you. That's all they do. And so I think what you do if there's a quick 5-0 run to instill confidence in your group, you burn a timeout. You don't have to lose your mind or anything or yell at them or anything like that, but you just basically say, hey, settle down. Hey, we're here. We're on the floor with them. They're ready to go. We can beat this team. We can compete with this team. And then you go from there. Because I'm not sitting here trying to trying to save timeouts in a game like this where this game could get away. But I think you do that early to say, hey, I believe in you. This is what we can do. And I think sometimes you have to change your style depending on the game just because you've got to make a team believe. Yeah, the kids got to draw the confidence from within. But the coach has to also show the confidence in them, too, that they step on the floor and they believe that, hey, we can be competitive, we can win. Are you going to? Who knows? But I just want to see competition this weekend. I don't want to see a 25-30 point loss.
Fair point. And to wrap it up, and you swerved right into it, and I brought it up with Paul and with Jackson and Jack Ferg earlier in the week. You don't have to be, you were saying, a bleep about it. And the coach can only do so much. And Vance is a very honest coach. And when I mean about that, if his team's playing well, he will say they're playing well. But you know this in post-game press conferences. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not someone who's going to say everything's peachy when it's not. Okay? So as a player, you've got to have thick skin because you have a coach that's going to tell you the truth as he sees it. But even if you have a guy who wants to pat everybody in the back all the time, you and I both know, Matt, or maybe a truth teller, okay, but even that direction. You know that the coach can only make so much of a difference vis-a-vis the players on the court. And I brought it up earlier in the week. Michael Jordan, and you kind of referenced it there inadvertently, he's a guy who during the timeout would turn to the team and say, maybe you bleepers don't want to win tonight, but I do. So give me the ball and get the bleep out of the way, okay? And that's what would happen because he wasn't worried. Michael Jordan was never a friendly teammate. Trust me on that one because I've talked to guys and been around that. But you also need to have that guy that you can go to, even if he's not as vocal. So Paul brought up Gorey at the start of the week, that maybe he's the guy. We know Collins has the ball in his hands a lot. We know that Jake is certainly the focal point defensively by the other team. Is there a guy right now that you say, no matter what his rhetoric might be, he can say fundamentally with his play, give me the ball in the last minute, and we're not going to see what happened in the last 10 seconds against Nevada happen again. You got about 60 seconds to solve the world's problems here, Matt.
Yeah, it's got to be Highbreeder, in my opinion. It has to be him. Your leading scorer has to show up in a game like that and have a good game. So I think he will, because I don't think he's going to follow up that 2-for-11 game against San Jose State. I think he's going to follow it up with a very good game. But it has to be that guy. That's where your confidence comes from. Asking a young kid to display that confidence, or Zion is really good, and he can display that confidence too, but he's more of a point guard. He'll score, he'll distribute. I think your scorer has to be ready to go from the opening tip. And then your team feeds off it. If Jake comes out and all of a sudden he's got 10 points in the first 12 minutes, your team's going to be like, okay, Jake's ready to go. You're going to feed off of that. Now it instills confidence in more and more players on the floor, and it makes it more difficult to guard him because now he's in the flow, he's feeling it. I always say in games like this, your best scorer has to show up. That's where the confidence comes from.
Well, we'll see how it plays out, because if they can get that go-to guy at the end of games, these games that have gotten away for the last year and a half, for the most part, there have been a few wins late, there will be more of the W's down the road. We'll see whether they're close enough on Saturday night at Viejas, but certainly coming home to play Colorado State and Wyoming, those are gettable games at home, and so we'll see how it plays out. Matt, always appreciate it. Great. We start our visits again. It's a godsend to me, and I look forward to every Thursday, my friend. Have a great one. I'll certainly be in touch.
Sounds good, Tony. Anytime.
All right. Our good friend Matt Norville will take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He's got an hour at Fashion Furniture today, and then we start the first of eight monumentally meaningful games, two in college, six in the NFL. We'll tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. 2:53, about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Hand it off. The Phillies at Fashion Furniture today, 1 hour, and then it's time for the first of the two semifinals to determine our national championship combatants a week from Monday. But we get started in, they say in Phoenix, it's actually in Glendale, Arizona tonight with the Fiesta Bowl. I'll tell you all about the schedule in just a moment, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. All there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Again, we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for the Lyles College of Engineering, of course, the on-campus engineering school at Fresno State. And Ed does great work for his alma mater. And as always, the goal is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. Works beautifully, and a lot of those grads from Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. We'll get to the schedule in just a moment, but first I want to remind you about our great friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. One more time, the new Zinger chicken sandwich is there and ready to go right now. A crispy hand-breaded chicken filet, seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and as always, it's finger-licking good. So stop on in, whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, and grab off a Zinger right now at the local KFCs that will deliver the crunch that KFC is always there to supply you, and it's the crunch you love over the years at KFC. Again, thanks to those operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Now, mind you about the schedule, Phil, again, normally 3 to 6 with his fine show Behind the Bench. Today, just 1 hour because of the national championship coverage. They'll kick it after 4:30. Pre will start at 4 o'clock. Stop by and see Phil on Thursdays, always at Fashion Furniture, a good friend right out of Edekin, El Paso, across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil shows, some good eats as well. And as always, you can reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters, two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show, not on this week, but normally on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 on our sister station, the Deuce 790. Has his long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings from First String Sports, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. For the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com, you find the live links and podcasts there. Now, as far as the schedule itself goes, 4 o'clock today, we'll kick off semifinal number one just after 4:30. That comes from ESPN Radio. It's also on ESPN Television. That, of course, is the matchup between Miami and Ole Miss. Then tomorrow, the big matchup between Indiana and Oregon. Same start time, 4 o'clock ESPN Radio, 4:30 again ESPN TV. And then over the weekend, we have got the six NFL games for you. There are two on Saturday. All the radio feeds we have will be from Westwood One. You have got the Rams, who are big favorites against the Panthers. Around 1:30, they'll kick it. And that game, by the way, is on Fox. And then later on Prime, and I know a lot of Bear and Packer fans that don't have Prime are not pleased about this. Prime has the game at 5 o'clock. And we'll see how it plays out from Soldier Field. Then on Sunday, the early game on NBC, that would be Josh Allen, the Bills at Jacksonville. The middle game at 1:30 on Fox, the 49er game at Philly. The 49ers are really beat up. I don't know how in the world they can win. And even if they do, they're probably going to see Seattle the next week and maybe the Rams after that. So really a tough road to hoe because they lost that game last weekend. And then they'll wrap it up television-wise on NBC with the Chargers and the Patriots on Sunday night. And then the Monday game will be the Texans at the Steelers. That is the ESPN game. So all you have to worry about radio-wise is just keeping on 1430, and then all the TV stuff you can check out with the networks by checking out the schedules. And then finally, I want to remind you that Fresno State will be at Viejas, CBS Sports Network, 8 o'clock on Saturday night. That's where the men will be. The women at noon on Saturday in Phoenix against Grand Canyon. That game is on the Mountain West Network. Anyway, thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Matt Norville. Brian Panis with me tomorrow to wrap things up for the Fresno State season because we didn't have shows the last two Fridays, so we'll get to that tomorrow. And then back to next week with Paul, and we'll get the postmortem on Fresno State and San Diego State at that time. Hope you guys have a great one. Stay tuned for Phil from Fashion Furniture. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay tuned for football all the way from now through Monday with eight huge games on KFIG Fresno.